Fiat. December 18th, 1938. God does not give if the creature does not want to receive. Painful condition when one does not live in the divine will. The depository of all creation. Love, divine nourishment. Condition of God when creatures do not live in the divine will. How they move down from his likeness. I'm always in the arms of the divine volition, which makes everything present to me, to tell me, I have done everything for you, but I want you to recognize the excesses that my love has reached. But while my mind was wandering about, my always lovable Jesus, who wants to be always the first narrator of the Fiat and of its works, all goodness told me, my blessed daughter, to make known what we have done for the creatures is for us the requital for everything we have done. But with whom can we do this? With one who lives in our will, because our will provides the capacity to comprehend us, the ears to listen to us, and it transmutes the human will into wanting what we want to give. We never give if the creature does not want to receive and does not know what we want to give. See then in what painful conditions they put us by not living in our will. They turn us into the mute God. Nor can we make known how much we love them and how they should love us. It can be said that the communications between heaven and earth are broken. Now, you must know that everything was created to make it a gift for the creatures. We made of each created thing the bearer of the gift and of the love with which we endowed that gift. But do you know why? Because the creature had nothing to give us, and we, loving her with highest love and wanting for her to have something to give us, because if one has nothing to give, the correspondence ends, the friendship is broken, love dies. We provided the creature with many gifts from us, as if they were her own, so that she might have something to give us. Therefore, we make of the creature who lives in our will the depository of all creation. And oh, our joys, our contentment, when she makes use of our gifts to love us and says to us, see how much I love you. I give you the sun in order to love you, and I love you with that love with which you love me in the sun. I give you the homages and the adorations of its light, the variety of its effects to love you, its continuous act of light to spread myself everywhere and place my I love you in everything touched by its light. Now, do you know what happens? We see all the light of the sun, all its effects, and every place where that light penetrates, pearled with the I love you, the adorations, the homages of the creature. But there's even more. The sun carries as though in triumph the love of the creator and of the creature. Therefore we feel united in the sun by one single will and one single love. And if the creature, feeling that she wants to love us more, bravely says, see how much I love you, but it is not enough. I want to love you more. Therefore I enter into your inaccessible, immense, and eternal light that never ends. And from within that light do I want to love you, so as to love you with your eternal love. Then you cannot comprehend our joy in seeing that she loves us not only in our gifts, but also inside ourselves. And we, as though conquered by her love, requite her by redoubling the gift and by abandoning ourselves, pray to her to let us be loved, not only as we love in our works, but as we love within our own selves, and also to love her. The same with all other created things. She uses them to give us her new surprises of love, to requite our gifts, to maintain a correspondence, to tell us constantly that she loves us. And we, who do not know how to receive without giving, redouble our gifts. But the greatest gift is when we see her carried in the arms of our will. We feel so drawn to her that we can't do without speaking of our Supreme Being, telling her one more knowledge of what we are is the greatest gift we can give, which surpasses the whole creation. To know our works is gift, but to make our very selves known is life of ours that we give. It is to admit her to our secrets. It is the Creator trusting the creature. To live in our will and to be loved is everything for us. More so, since the love of ourselves forms our continuous nourishment. My celestial Father, because He loves, generates His Son unceasingly. And by generating me, He forms the nourishment to nourish us. I, His Son, love with His same love, and the Holy Spirit proceeds. And by this, we form more nourishment to nourish ourselves. If we created the creation, it is because we love. If we sustain it with our creative and preserving act, it is because we love. This love serves us as nourishment. If we want the creature to know us in our works and in ourselves, it is because we want to be loved. And we use this love to nourish ourselves. We never despise love. As long as it is love, we use it. It is our own. Our love's hunger is satiated by being loved. And because we have done everything out of love, we want heaven and earth and all creatures to be all love for us. And if it is not all love, then pain comes in, which makes us delirious, for we love and we are not loved back. Now, our will is life of ours. Love is the nourishment. See at what high, noble, and sublime point we want the creature who forms within herself the life of our will, which will convert all things, the circumstances, the crosses, and even the air that she breathes into love in order to nourish her. So much so that we can say, the life of our will is yours and ours, and we eat of the same food. With this, we see the creature grow in our image and likeness. And these are our true joys in creation. To be able to say, our children resemble us. And what should the joy of the creature not be in being able to say, I resemble my celestial Father? This is why I want the creatures to live in my will, because I want my children, the children who are like me. If these children do not come back into my will, we find ourselves in the condition of a poor father who, while he is noble and masters such knowledge as to be able to give lessons to all, and is rich and filled with goodness and rare beauty, yet his children are not like him at all. They have moved down from the nobility of their father. They look poor, moronic, ugly, and so filthy as to be disgusting. The poor father feels dishonored in his children, even more. He looks at them and almost cannot recognize them. As he sees them blind, crippled, and sick, to the point of not recognizing their own father, these children form the sorrow of their father. The same with us. Those who do not live in our will dishonor us and form our sorrow. How can they look like us if our will is not theirs? Our will nourishes our children with our same food. And as they eat of it, this food is such as to form in them our sanctity. They are embellished with our beauty. They acquire great knowledge of their father, because our fiat speaks to them with its light, telling them many things about their father, unto enamoring them so much that they cannot be without him. And this produces the likeness. Daughter, without my will, there is no one who can nourish our children, no one who can instruct them or form them, nor anyone who can raise them as children who resemble us. Rather, they leave our home and do not know either what we do or who we are or how much we love them or what they must do to resemble us. Therefore, our likeness is far away from them. How can we possibly look alike if they do not know us and there is no one who speaks to them about our divine being?